Senegal Today. Aziz, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Zach. Thanks
good
for
to hear
me.
From you.
Good, thank you.
Aziz, this is as I say, as I introduced it, Senegal has managed to go through several transitions without any issues, and this has become a little bit hot. What are the issues here?
Well, indeed. Actually, in June last year, a major event happened. The head of state tried to work on the constitution in order to make sure that his son and probably his successor as a vice president would fit in the constitution. That was dismissed by a huge demonstration. So he actually withdrew the law. And this is actually a second attempt. But I must say that it is a very controversial issue because there is two articles which are not very well written in the Senegalese constitution, which allow him to be accepted by the Constitutional Council. That these are five judges who actually finally accepted his candidacy for the third mandate. The issue of the constitutionality of the candidacy of the president is actually relying on two articles. One is called the Article 27. The other one is the Article 104. One is saying that he is allowed to be representing for a third mandate. And the trick is they actually changed the constitution in 2001. And this little gray zone and the way it could be interpreted, whether the law is retroactive, allow him to just represent for a third mandate, because he would say, actually, we changed the mandate of 7 years to 5 years. This is not calculated in the first, so I still have one extra to do. So it's majorly constitutional tricks. But I think the issue is not even the constitution. The issue is whether someone, after two mandates at the age of 85, could renew for a third mandate. And
that's what I was thinking. I mean, this is all constitutional chicanery there, but the kind of protests we've seen it's a little more profound than technical, isn't it?
Exactly. So this is now the most. So there's the story about the constitutionality, whether he's right or not, etc. And this is an endless debate. And the second side, which is now more political, is the fact that the liberal family, the so-called capitalist side, that he is the main figure, was split in three. Two of his main followers, these are actually not his biological son, but the two followers, Idrissa Seck, former head of the government, and Macky Sall, resign from his party and form their own party. It means that the actual party, called the PDS, is almost an empty shell if Lai Wade is not represented in the next election. So it could implode. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that this is mainly a psychological problem. The heads of state suffer of megalomania and wanted to do exactly what Senghor did, which is basically winning and then leaving his seat to, you know, a follower or number two in his party. So the attempt he did in June 23rd last year failed. So this is actually his ultimate chance, you know, to be like Senghor in history. Except that now the population is really fed up. He still have the power of doing so because the opposition is totally divided. And worst, he has the support of some part of the religious network, mainly the Murid Brotherhood. So one of the things that people don't realize is whether Lai Wade is in seat or not in the next election, the country is almost sold to foreign interest. Most of the assets were transferred through very big and very opaque, you know, transaction in this neoliberal era. And it's a very business-oriented state that is now run by this regime. So the question is whether the opposition is able to tackle. Today we had an amazing demonstration, not the scale that was expected, apparently just 10,000 people. They were expecting 100,000. But I think it's just the beginning. There's at least three people died, unfortunately, in this. And amazingly, France and the United States, who are basically his stronger allies, said, well, that he should withdraw from power and he should not represent again.
Well, as he's during the shall we go back to the terminology, and I don't want to get into debates, but the Arab Spring, we kept talking about the street. Where's the street in Senegal in all of this?
Well, the street is quite active. In the whole history, there is many, many times where the street actually took a very strong stand, including the way he was elected in the first place, because he won after bringing a whole coalition of opponents from the left to the right, and finished the leadership of Abdou Diouf. And when Abdou Diouf was almost about to contest, you know, the election, huge, you know, amount of people went in the street and forced Abdou Diouf to resign. So
this is a pro-Wade.
That was a pro-Wade, and it was called the SOPI. Was like a kind of almost an upheaval when he arrived in power. But he had the same. I think he tasted the same thing in June last year when people opposed his constitutional amendment. And I think he's now witnessing very strong division in the country. Now, the question is that the election may not hold, you know, in February as planned, so it could be postponed. But I think now there is a brink, there is a wide gap between the forces in place, forcing these places to now do some type of coalition. Quite interestingly, you can make a lot of similarity with what is happening in Tunisia, which is Tunisia was abandoned by France and by the United States when Ben Ali was too old, you know, to stay in power, too sick, and probably too corrupted. But, you know, the corruption is tolerated as long as the system can hold. You know, this is almost a rule. Africa has, I mean, a long list of corrupt leaders, and this is part of the system. No one would deny that, except that in this very particular situation, he has strong people contesting his leadership, including his own son, who was apparently one of the leading figures to replace him. And as I said, those two presumptive sons are along. So what is interesting is to see now what are the possibility in the opposition. The opposition failed to rally under an umbrella group called Mouvement des Assises de la Gauche. It actually was launched here from Montreal and New York and tried start mushrooming in the country and finally failed, but finally concluded in what we call the Assises Nationale. And the Assises Nationale could lead to the possibility of a coalition led by Ibrahima Fall, a former foreign minister who actually the undersecretary general at the UN, not to mention other forces who actually were dismissed, like the very popular singers Youssou N'Dour, who was dismissed from the council.
What? Yeah, now what was that about? He got dismissed on a technicality?
Well, again, this is another trick because obviously this guy is not a politician, but he's certainly indeed popular. He could certainly fill, you know, two stadiums and collect signatures. So
and wealthy enough to have lawyers who could advise him on how to do this properly.
No, it was done properly. I think probably they may have some irregularities, but I have big doubt that he could not reach 10,000, you know.
My goodness gracious.
So I just can't believe, even if my own film could be seen by 3,000, you know, people at one conference, so imagine Youssou N'Dour, he could multiply that by 100. So I think he could easily have, 100,000 people signing his famous
Absolutely.
List. So he was dismissed because, again, these guys are now playing in the yard where most of the, you know, it's like a yardstick. They don't fit in the system, and all of a sudden they arrive. And don't forget, we have some precedent, like in Haiti, we have a singer now as a head of state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And why not? Maybe we would have different military concerts with some
music
and,
you know,
more livelihood.
We've had actors, the president of the United States.
Yes, why not, you know?
Aziz, I've got about a minute and a half left. What? Give us your overview of where you think things are going right now.
Well, to tell you the truth, the country needs a serious shakeup. I'm kind of scared by what it really means. You know, in Tunisia, we saw that, unfortunately, there is a lot of people who died and paid a very high price. But I'm afraid that that may be what we need in order to shake the system. This is an old system. This is not Laiwad per se. It's an old system going back to the interior, going back to the colonial era. Senegal is the country that is almost a Trojan horse, you know, of the colonial, neo-colonial order, not to mention the neoliberal. So we do have big problems, not to mention our own values who have been changed by many, many things that are very complex, the religious mingled with politics, etc. So truly, a little shakeup is not necessarily bad. And we have this new generation who is truly depoliticized, and anger can't really be an alternative, I admit. But again, these are popular demand, and if they don't respect them, well, what happened in Tunisia will happen.
Well, we've had the Arab Spring. Let's hope we have the African Spring.
Oh, you know, the African Sub-Saharan Spring started before.
Things are
like,
ready.
The same thing happened in Mali and elsewhere. You know,
Malawi last July.
In Malawi. So we do have. The whole continent is in turmoil. I think we have just to witness real change after that. We have to transform and to be very pragmatic on how we can transform the productive forces.
Thank you very much, Aziz. It's
my
been
pleasure,
a great
man.
Interview.
We've Hello
got Yusuf Endur, and we're going to play his song, No! Africa.
Good for him.
So thanks
Thank
again, Aziz.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.